What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of MIAA Weekly. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAAweekly. First things first this week, I have to say thank you to everyone listening to the show now. Last week, the episode that we had on National Signing Day for 2020 was officially the most listened to episode in the history of the MIAA Weekly podcast. And I really, really appreciate everybody who listened. In particular, I really appreciate everybody who reshared it on social media, got the word out to friends, family, loved ones of people who signed, any athletes, again, who became listeners of the show. Welcome to the MIAA, to you in particular as well. And I wanted to make sure that the first thing I did on this week's episode was say thank you to everyone that listened to the last episode, again, for making it the most downloaded and the most listened to episode that we've ever done since we undertook this project last summer. So one final time, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for coming back this week as well. A little bit different show this week. First of all, no guest this week. I wasn't able to get anybody booked. I knew that one of the big stories this week was going to be the round two of that heavyweight basketball matchup in the MIAA between Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Southern. And if you watched that game, I'm recording this on Thursday night after basketball was over. If you watched that game between Northwest and Missouri Southern, holy smokes, that was a fantastic ball game. I sent out on Twitter, and I'm going to re-say it here. I need two more games like that from Northwest and Missouri Southern this year. I want to see it once in Kansas City, and I want to see it once again, presumably in Maryville, for a regional championship as well. That was really, really high-level basketball between two really, really good basketball teams, and just wow. Trevor Hudgens is, this is going to sound like hyperbole, in this long run of success that Northwest has had, I think that even though he's only a sophomore, Trevor Hudgens is the best player they've had. I think he's better than Justin Pitts, who was a three-time player of the year, which I think that Hudgens has a great chance to do himself. I think he's better than Deshaun Cooper from back in the day. I think he's definitely a better basketball player than Joey Wittes. I think that Trevor Hudgens is absolutely fantastic. And even though he didn't have a huge game stat-wise on Thursday night, 19 points, the two biggest points of the game, a jump shot falling away between two defenders as the buzzer sounds to give Northwest their seventh straight MIAA championship. That is, without question, the biggest shot we have seen in the league this year. It's not worth debating. A shot like that to win a conference championship, because Northwest at this point in time, you look at the standings, Northwest is sitting at 15-1, which means the absolute worst they can finish is 15-4. Both Rogers State and Missouri Southern have four losses in the league. So, quote unquote, Northwest would share the conference championship with those two schools if all of them, or if Rogers State and Southern both went out and Northwest somehow loses all three of their last games. But Northwest would own the tiebreaker with wins over both Missouri Southern and Rogers State. So congratulations to the Bearcats, sitting at 25-1, number one in the country. Again, barring something absolutely ridiculous over the next few weeks, Maryville will once again be the site of the Central Regional for Division II basketball. We'll get more into the regional probably later on in segment two. But as big as it was for Northwest to win this game, this is, for the Missouri Southern Lions, this is gut check time. Because, one, first of all, let's give the Lions credit. Last week, Missouri Southern hosted this Northwest Missouri State team in Joplin. Northwest won that game going away. They won by 21 points. Tonight, in Maryville, Southern, they gave the Bearcats maybe their best shot. And if you look at the box score, you look at the stats, you can make a really compelling case that Missouri Southern outplayed Northwest Missouri State on Thursday night in Maryville. More free throws, more chances at the free throw line. Cam Martin was an absolute beast, 33 points, 11 rebounds for the junior big man from Missouri Southern. As a team, Southern shot 55% from the floor, including 61% in the second half, compared to Northwest shooting just 49%. I say just, shooting 49% from the floor. Southern out-rebounded Northwest Missouri State 35-21. One area where Northwest was better than Southern was the assist-to-turnover ratio. Southern only had 9 assists and turned the ball over 11 times, where Northwest had 14 assists, 6 of them by Hudgens, and only 5 turnovers. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say that only one or two of those turnovers happened in the second half, but they were both late in the game. They were both what were very clutch turnovers by Missouri Southern defensively late in that game as they were trying to hold on to a slim lead. But again, like I mentioned before, this game, it was close, and it came down to Trevor Hudgens scoring the last 5 points of the game for Northwest. He hits a 3-pointer with about 40 seconds left to make it 76-75. And then after Missouri Southern misses the front end of a 1-1 with 7 seconds left, he gets the outlet pass and goes coast to coast, hitting a jumper contested while falling away. That's just a big player making a big play. But the reason that this is big for Missouri Southern, and kind of the other way, number one, if you look at the standings now, Missouri Southern not only didn't keep Northwest from winning the conference championship outright, they also fell from second to third place in the standings. Rogers State got a 74-68 win over the Tigers in Hayes, Kansas on Thursday night. That moved Rogers State to 13-4 this year. And by virtue of that one extra game that Rogers State has in hand, they moved a half game ahead of Missouri Southern in the conference standings. The bad news for Missouri Southern is that a few weeks ago, Rogers State beat the Lions in Joplin by a final score of 105-93. That was back on February 1st. What that means is if both Missouri Southern and Rogers State finish the conference season with 15-4 records, Rogers State will be the 2 seed in the MIAA tournament by way of having that head-to-head tiebreaker over the Lions. Rogers State's last 2 games, they've got a tough one on Saturday on the road in Kearney, Nebraska. Kearney's a team that looked really good about a month ago, but Kearney is still not an easy place to go and win a game. But after that, they play an Emporia State team that's been reeling, and as a matter of fact, has lost 7 in a row. By comparison, Missouri Southern has to regroup quickly after, again, what was easily the most heartbreaking loss they've suffered all year. Because on Saturday, they take on a really good Missouri Western team. And yeah, I know I said it, really good. This is a Missouri Western team that if they'd been playing this way all year long, they would be in the same conversation as Rogers State, Missouri Southern. They would be in that next tier right below Northwest. As it stands, Missouri Western right now is sitting at 11-5 in the conference, 15-12 overall. But the key stat is this game is in St. Joseph. All year long, Missouri Western's mantra has been protect Looney. They're undefeated at home. For Missouri Southern to keep pace with Rogers State and keep their hopes alive, of getting that number two seed and that all-important first-round bye in Kansas City in March, they've got to go on the road in a hostile environment in St. Joseph, and they've got to find a way to do something that nobody else has done this year, beat the Griffins in Looney. After that, Missouri Southern takes on Central Missouri at home. Central Missouri has not had a great season, but reminder, Central Missouri is the only team in the last 2 years to beat Northwest Missouri State. Central Missouri also beat Missouri Southern 54-52 in Warrensburg earlier this year. Southern should win that game, but we've seen enough from the Mules to know that that's not a game you can overlook. And finally, in the season finale for Missouri Southern, the Lions take on Lincoln University. Southern beat Lincoln and Jefferson City 77-63 earlier this year, but that game was a lot closer than that for most of the contest. And Lincoln might be playing for their tournament lives, as well as Central Missouri, when those games come around. Southern's schedule the rest of the way, bottom line, is harder than Rogers State's. Southern needs help from a team near the bottom of the league, and Southern needs to make sure that even coming off of what had to be an absolutely gut-wrenching loss on the road against the number one team in the country, they've got to turn around and find a way to beat a team at home who hasn't lost at home all year. You're listening to the MIAA Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAA Weekly. Outside of the top three between Northwest Missouri State, Rogers State, and Missouri Southern, the race in the league right now is at the bottom of the league. As everyone knows, there are 10 teams who will punch tickets to the MIAA Championship Tournament in Kansas City starting on March 4th inside of Municipal Auditorium. As of right now, 7 tickets have been punched. The aforementioned Northwest, Rogers State, and Southern have all punched their tickets. Right now, Missouri Western sitting in 4th, Washburn in 5th, Northeastern State in 6th, and Nebraska Kearney in 7th have all clinched spots in the conference tournament with 3 or 4 games left to play, depending on what their schedule has left to show. Lincoln right now is sitting in 8th place at 7-9. If my math is right, they will lock up a spot with 1 win the rest of the way. And then you've got a little bit of a logjam at the 9 and 10 spot, I should say. I think Lincoln would be 8th team in if they win one more. And then you've got a logjam you could make the argument all of the remaining teams competing for that 9th and 10th spot in Kansas City. Right now, Fort Hays State, who while we were not paying attention, put together a nice little streak. They've lost 2 in a row now. They lost in overtime to Lincoln last weekend. And then, as I mentioned before, on Thursday night, they lost by 6 at home to Rogers State. But before that, Fort Hays State had won 5 in a row, including 4 in a row in the conference. It kind of got started with that they got handled pretty easily by Northwest Missouri State, as most teams do on January 25th. On January 27th, they played a makeup game against Kansas Wesleyan. They got snowed out earlier in the year, back in December. They won that game 90-49 and then rode the momentum from that to a 69-56 win over Nebraska Kearney, a 79-72 win over Newman, an 81-73 win over an improved Central Oklahoma team, and a big 65-50 win over Central Missouri in Warrensburg. Again, I mentioned before what followed that was 2 losses to Lincoln and Rogers State. But right now, after that little spurt that we saw out of Fort Hays State, if the season ended today, Fort Hays State would actually be the 9 seed and make it into Kansas City. They currently sit at 12-13 overall and 5-11 in the MIAA. Right on their heels, you've got Pittsburgh State at 5-11 in the conference as well. Central Oklahoma is also at 5-11. while Central Missouri, fresh off of their Thursday night loss to Washburn, are sitting at 5-12. And then you've got Emporia State at 4-12, right now sitting in 13th place in the MIAA, and off of an upset win on Thursday night, Newman, now at 3-14, actually still has a pulse. They could still make it to Kansas City if they win out. They need wins over Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays State next week. Both of those games will be played in Wichita at home for Newman. I wouldn't say that they're likely to make it, but those are two winnable contests at home, and it would be a big step for Newman to make the MIAA tournament in their first season in the league. But what's really fun about the bottom part of this league and the standings, as far as, again, all of those teams trying to fight for those last couple of spots in the tournament, is that all of them pretty much play each other the rest of the way. Central Missouri still has a game against Pittsburgh State next week. Fort Hays State, Central Oklahoma, and Newman all play each other in the last three games of the season. The one, and matter of fact, actually now that I look at it, I was going to say the one outlier is Emporia State, but even they have a game against Central Oklahoma on Saturday as well before they take on Northeastern State and Rogers State at home next week. I think that if you look at it, you've got to say that Emporia State's probably got the toughest road with having Northeastern State and Rogers State next weekend and probably needing to win at least one of those two games to have a chance to get into the tournament. And that's assuming that they take care of business against Central Oklahoma on Saturday, which is far from a sure thing, as Central Oklahoma is a very improved basketball team this season over last, and they're coming off of a big 26-point win over Newman last week. So they've got, you know, get a big win followed by a week of rest under their belt before they get the last three games of the season at home against Emporia, Fort Hays, and Nebraska Kearney. So things are going to clear up, obviously, as they do, as the season goes on. But, you know, if you're a fan of the MIAA in general, it's really easy to get caught up in what's going on at the top of the league with Northwest Missouri State, Rogers State, and Missouri Southern, who are all currently ranked inside of the top eight in the regional rankings, which we'll go more into in segment two. But if you're a fan of the league in general, really keep an eye on some of those games at the bottom of the league. It's always fun to see those teams that kind of play with that reckless abandon in Kansas City because they know that they've really got nothing to lose and everything to gain. The next three or four games, or the next 7 to 9 days, however you want to look at it, are going to decide who those last couple of teams in Kansas City are going to be. And for my money, honestly, aside from Championship Sunday, my favorite day of the tournament is the first day. You know, everybody loves that Cinderella underdog story in college basketball. That story starts right now. That story starts with a team right now that's got 9, 10, 11 wins on the season needing to buckle down and play their best ball in the last week of February to give themselves a chance to get into the ring in Kansas City. And then cut loose, fire away all the cliches, see what happens. If we're going to see, you know, potentially a 1-7 conference championship game that nobody saw coming, that starts right now. You're listening to MIAA Weekly. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAA Weekly. We're going to take a quick break, come back after a quick word from our sponsor with segment two, where I'll break down the first regional rankings. And we'll also look at the fallout from what happened on Thursday night and see what the next set of rankings could look like next week in the region. Keep it locked. We'll be right back with more MIAA Weekly after this. Welcome back into the MIAA Weekly podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. In segment two today, we break down the first iteration of the Central Region rankings for NCAA Division II men's basketball. really no reason to tease it anymore. Let's just jump right in. Obviously, the number one seed, no surprise, is the number one team in the country. Northwest Missouri State, sitting with a record right now of 25-1 overall. The two things that the central region, or the regional rankings, I should say, not just the central, all of them, the regional rankings take into account are your overall Division II record and your in-region record. As of right now, Northwest Missouri State is 22-1 against Division II opponents and 21-1 against Division II opponents from inside their region. The one win, for the record, if anyone's curious, against a team from outside of the region is against Damon College from the beginning of the season and the Small College Hall of Fame Classic. Damon, if anybody's wondering, is currently sitting as the 7th seed in the East Regional. So a quality win against a quality opponent on what was technically a neutral site. It was in St. Joseph, Missouri, but technically that's a neutral site during the very beginning of the season. Currently number 2 in the regional rankings is Southeastern Oklahoma State. They were 17-6 and 16-5 in the region when these standings were released. We'll get more into the GAC standings here in just a minute. Missouri Southern, number 3, they're currently 16-6 and 16-5 in the overall and in region records, respectively. Southern Nazarene at 18-7, both in record or in region and in Division II. They are the 4 seed. Northern State is the 5 seed at 20-6 in Division II opponents or versus Division II opponents. Minnesota Duluth is the 6 seed at 19-7. Rogers State at 18-5. And Oklahoma Baptist rounding out the top 8 at 15-8. The regional rankings usually release the top 10. And so number 9 right now is Sioux Falls out of the NSIC. And at number 10, so I guess you'd call them on the bubble, is Henderson State at 15-7. So 1 through 10, it is Northwest Missouri State, Southeastern Oklahoma State, Missouri Southern, Southern Nazarene, Northern State out of South Dakota, Minnesota Duluth, Rogers State, Oklahoma Baptist, Sioux Falls out of South Dakota, and Henderson State out of Southern Arkansas. So, first things first, Northwest Missouri State, barring something absolutely absurd happening, they are going to host this regional. This regional will be played in Maryville. I don't even think that if they somehow lose the conference championship tournament, they're still going to get in. Because at this point in time, even if they completely implode and lose out the regular season and lose in the first game of the MIAA tournament, which I just can't foresee happening, but even if that did happen, they would be sitting with a Division II record of 22-5, which would easily be the best record in the region. But again, I don't think that that would happen regardless. So they're not going anywhere. Southeastern State or Southeastern Oklahoma State and Southern Nazarene out of the GAC are sitting at number 2 and number 4, respectively. However, right now, if you look at the GAC standings, Southern Nazarene has actually moved ahead of Southeastern Oklahoma State with a win on Thursday night over Southwestern Oklahoma State, with a win on the road at Harding. Meanwhile, Southeastern Oklahoma State lost their most recent game on Thursday night at Southern Arkansas. So I'm wondering if we'll see some movement there as, you know, granted we still haven't had the Saturday games, but Southeastern Oklahoma State takes on Arkansas Monticello on Saturday night. Southern Nazarene has a game against Arkansas Tech. Neither of those games are opponents that will probably move the needle necessarily. However, I think that with the combination of Southern Nazarene getting the win on Thursday and Southeastern Oklahoma State getting the loss, I do think that we could see some movement near the top of the region standings. Obviously, Missouri Southern losing at Northwest Missouri State, it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the conference standings, or in the regional standings, I should say. Here's why. I really think that because of where Missouri Southern has been ranked for basically the entire year, the regional committee is not going to punish Missouri Southern that severely for losing to Northwest Missouri State. So my prediction is if Missouri Southern beats Missouri Western in St. Joseph on Saturday, as weird as it sounds, I think that there is at least some chance that Missouri Southern might move up to the 2 line, even though they just lost a game against Northwest on Thursday night. Again, I know that sounds really crazy, but I do think that there's a chance that happens. And then if that happens, I think the corresponding result is that Southeastern Oklahoma State would move down to the 4 line, and you'd see Southern Nazarene possibly move up to 3. Now, out of the NSIC right now, the highest rated team in the region is Northern State, and they have actually not played a game. In the NSIC, they play on Friday and Saturday. They actually have a very, very soft schedule to close out their regular season this weekend. Friday, they take on Mary, and Saturday, they play Minot State. Right now, Mary is sitting at 11-15 overall and 6-14 in the league. Minot State is 10-16 overall and 4-16 in the league. So they're probably going to be in a good position to possibly climb a little bit. It just depends on how severely Southeastern Oklahoma State gets punished for their loss on Thursday night. But there'd be a chance that maybe you see Northern State climb up to that 4 line and Southeastern Oklahoma State climb down to or fall down to the number 5 seed. But really, all around, when you look at the NSIC teams that currently are in the top 10 in the regional rankings, again, that's Northern State, Minnesota Duluth, and Sioux Falls, all of them play fairly soft schedules this weekend. They're all pretty heavily favored against the opponents they play on Friday, Saturday this week. And so it'll be really, really fascinating to see how much credit or how much of a punishment there theoretically could be if Southeastern Oklahoma State and Missouri Southern are the only two teams that are currently ranked in the top 8 that suffer a loss this week. As weird as it sounds, I really do think that there's a chance. I don't know that I would do this if I were on the committee, but I really do think that there's a chance that Missouri Southern, despite losing to Northwest Missouri State because of the showing that they had, if they beat Missouri Western on Saturday, Southern could actually climb up to the 2 seed. And part of why I think that's a possibility is because I very much believe that the regional committee is going to want the GAC champion, or the team that finishes in first in the GAC. I suppose, you know, anybody could win their tournament championship, but whoever wins their regular season championship, whether it's Southern Nazarene or whether it is Southeastern Oklahoma State, I think that they want that team and Missouri Southern to be on the opposite side of the bracket from Northwest Missouri State, because I think that they want to set up the best possible regional final in the Central Region. And I think that they realize that if a team like Missouri Southern falls down to the 4 or 5 line, then they're really probably taking one of the two best teams out of the running in the second round, or potentially taking them out in the second round. I don't have any inside information on that, but it's just the sense that I get based on the way that Missouri Southern has played this year and based on the way that the standings look, or the way that the bracket looks right now. As a matter of fact, as I look at this set of regional rankings right now, I think that I actually could probably project out what the final 8 will end up looking like, barring someone stealing a bid, like an Upper Iowa winning the NSIC, or Missouri Western winning the MIAA tournament, or a team out of the GAC like East Central making a run in the GAC tournament, or something like that. Barring something like that, I think that the way the Central region will finally end up is like this. And we'll revisit this next week with the updated standings and after the first set of games next week in the MIAA. But I think Northwest Missouri State is going to be the one seed. Again, we've established that. I think that the regular season GAC champion will be the two seed. I think that Missouri Southern will end up as the three seed. I think that whoever finishes second in the GAC will be the four seed. I think the NSIC champion, it could be either the regular season or the tournament champion, but an NSIC team, the whoever the committee thinks is the best NSIC team, will be the five seed. Either Rogers State or the second NSIC team will be the sixth seed, and then the other one will be the seventh seed. So either the second NSIC team or Rogers State will be the seventh seed. And then the eighth seed is basically going to be the true at-large team, if you will. It could be anybody from the NSIC or the GAC. Or heck, maybe this is where a team like Northeastern State, if they make a deep run and don't quite win the MIAA championship, a team like that, I think that the team that they think is maybe playing the best, that has a good enough resume, is going to get in here. It'll be Oklahoma Baptist. It might be Henderson State. It might be Sioux Falls. It might be a team right now that's kind of on the outside looking in, like I mentioned Upper Iowa out of the NSIC, if they have a great showing in their conference tournament. Or again, maybe it's a team like Arkansas Monticello, who right now is 19-9 overall and 11-8 in their conference. If they have a really nice showing, I think that that'll be kind of the one true at-large team, or that'll be the team that steals a bid. So again, I think it'll be Northwest 1, the GAC regular season champion 2, Missouri Southern 3, the second place NSIC team, or the second place GAC team 4, the NSIC champion 5, either Rogers State or the second NSIC team 6, the other one 7, and then the one true at-large team will be at 8. We'll revisit the standings next week. We'll see how close to being on the money I am. And then, of course, we'll revisit it after conference tournaments are completed on March 8th to see how close I really was in the end. But that is my prediction as to how all of it will end up shaking out in the end on February 20th when I record this. Then, obviously, there are some things that can happen, you know, like if you know, for example, if Rogers State goes and they win the MIAA tournament, they win out, they win the MIAA tournament, then yeah, I think they would see a substantial jump, especially if they have to beat Northwest Missouri State to win the MIAA tournament. Then I could see a situation where Rogers State climbs as high as even the two seed. So, I mean, there's obviously scenarios like that that could play out, but I think that there are some limitations based on the fact that I don't think that the committee really wants to have too many first round matchups between conference opponents. So I think that does kind of limit what some of the possibilities are in this region because of the fact that it's essentially a foregone conclusion that Northwest Missouri State is going to be the host. You're listening to MIAA Weekly. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAA Weekly. Real quickly before we get out of here, we had one question this week in the mailbag. It comes from my man Troy. And Troy asked me, if there was a media ballot for all MIAA, who would be your five guys to make first-team all-conference in basketball this year? Well, Troy, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, thank you for writing into the show with your question. I really appreciate it. If you follow me on Twitter, I made a comment, I don't know, sometime in the last week. Right now, the Bevo Francis Small College Player of the Year Award has narrowed it down to 50 players. Now, to be clear, the Small College, this Bevo Francis Award, is not just Division II. It is all divisions below Division I for basketball for the best small college player in the country. They have narrowed that list down at this point from 100 down to 50. Northwest Missouri State point guard Trevor Hudgens, forward Ryan Hawkins, and Missouri Southern forward Cam Martin are all on that list of 50 players. None of those three guys are seniors. Hawkins and Martin are juniors, Hudgens just a sophomore. So I tweeted something out to the effect of, if you're hoping to make first team all MIAA, those spots are spoken for, or three out of five of those spots are spoken for the next couple of years. So that's the first three answers right there. Hudgens, Hawkins, and Martin are the first three guys that I think you absolutely have to put on this team. After that, it gets tougher. Rogers State looks like they're going to finish as the two seed in the MIAA this year. So it'd stand to reason that you've probably got to show somebody on that roster some love in the all-conference voting. But when you look at the way the makeup of their team and their stats, they don't really have one guy who statistically is a major standout. Marcus Sumner leads that team in scoring. He averages 14 points a game. And then after him, it's Chris Miller, who averages 12 points and 5.5 rebounds per game. So that's kind of the first place that I thought to look. I sort of came up empty. The first guy that comes to mind after those three guys is Missouri Western point guard Tyrell Carroll. Missouri Western had a really, really slow start to the season. I've already mentioned today that since that time, they've bounced back and they've been outstanding. They're definitely going to be a top-line team, or almost certainly going to be a top-line team in the conference tournament in a couple of weeks. Well, Tyrell Carroll has kind of been the consistent presence all year long. Right now, behind those three guys that I mentioned already, Martin, Hawkins, Hudgens, Tyrell Carroll is right behind them at number four in the MIAA in scoring at 17.4 points a game. Carroll is also second in the MIAA at six assists per game, a literal decimal point behind Trevor Hudgens, who leads the MIAA with 6.1 assists per game. Carroll's only a sophomore, and there are a lot of really good guards in this league, a lot of really good point guards in this league. But at this point in time, when you look at the numbers and you look at the kind of turnaround and what's happened with Missouri Western as this season has gone on, I don't feel like it's really fair or reasonable to ignore the fact that Tyrell Carroll is a star in this league. It's really easy for people to forget him because they're 15-12 overall, but they're 11-5 in conference play. And like I said, if the season ended right now, they'd be the four seed. They'd be the next team up behind the three teams that we all agree are the three best teams in the league. So I think that the fourth spot goes to Tyrell Carroll, the sophomore point guard from Missouri Western. The last spot is really, really difficult. Because, again, there's not really one guy that separates himself from the pack that substantially. But if you want to look at individually the other player who's had the best season this year, he plays for the worst team in the league. Senior forward Marshawn Blackman out of Newman. Not only is he fifth in the MIAA in scoring at 17.2 points per game, he also leads the league in rebounding at 9.3 boards per game, ahead of Cam Martin, who is seemingly a double-double machine. Blackman shoots almost 50% from the floor on the season. He's a big guy, but he also steps out and shoots jumpers every once in a while. He's not one-dimensional. And right now, like I said, Newman, they're only 3-14 in the league. But last year, I was a guy who advocated for a Darius Avery at UCO when the Broncos were the worst team in the league, but he was averaging a double-double. I thought that he should have been first team all conference. So I don't know how I can ignore it this year when a guy like Marshawn Blackman is averaging 17-9 a game. He's top five in scoring and number one in rebounding. I think you have to give credit where it's due and give the man his individual award. So I think that my five guys would be the obvious Cam Martin, Ryan Hawkins, Trevor Hudgens, and then I would give it to Tyrell Carroll and Marshawn Blackman. Other guys that you could consider for first team all conference, Morgan Susi out of Nebraska Kearney has had a really, really good year this year. I think you consider the guard duo of Caleb Smith and Kendrick Thompson at Northeastern State. A.J. Walker at Pitt State only played half the season. He wasn't able to play until the second semester, but he's been very good for Pittsburgh State. Again, another team that's not really having a great year. I already mentioned Marcus Sumner. I mean, if you subscribe to the school of, you know, the best player on the best teams, I think that production-wise, he's been one of their better players. And again, that's a team that's probably, it looks like, is going to finish as the number two team in the MIAA in the regular season. So I do think that the overall talent in the MIAA is still really good, but I think that outside of a handful of guys at the very top, you can make a really good argument for several dudes that probably deserve to kind of be in that list or in that range of top five players in the league. Like, I didn't even mention guys like Diego Bernard and Ryan Welty, who's literally the best three-point shooter in all of college basketball, but he's the fourth or fifth option on his own team because Northwest is so good. I didn't mention guys like Kinzer Lambert or Elijah Clark, who have consistently hit big shots for Missouri Southern this year because Cam Martin is so good. So, again, there's a lot of really good talent in the league, but I think that my five, if I was kind of told that I had to really stick to it, I would say it's, again, Hudgens and Hawkins from Northwest, Cam Martin from Missouri Southern, Tyrell Carroll from Missouri Western, and then I would give it to Marshawn Blackman at Neumann. But email the show at miaaweekly@gmail.com. Let me know who you think first team all MIAA should be. Also, you can shoot me a tweet on Twitter. I'll probably tweet something out about this later on to kind of get a feel for what everyone else thinks. Who do you think should be first team all MIAA in men's basketball this year? That is going to do it for MIAA Weekly this week. Remember, a lot of big games going on Saturday, games with conference tournament implications. Can Lincoln clinch their spot in the tournament with a win over Washburn on Saturday afternoon? Emporia State, Central Oklahoma. Obviously, Missouri Southern looking to bounce back from a really tough loss against Northwest with a very tough road game against Missouri Western, who's a very, very difficult team to beat at Looney in St. Joseph. Obviously, a lot of basketball still to come next week as we wind down the regular season and start marching towards Kansas City for the MIAA tournament. I'll be there. And I'm sure when I'm not watching basketball, I'll find my way over to the Power and Light District. So anybody who wants to buy me around, I won't say no. But in all seriousness, if you're at the MIAA tournament in Kansas City that first week of March and you see me, definitely come by, say hello. I love to meet listeners and kind of get your insight. And I love to chat about MIAA sports whenever I get the opportunity. So don't be shy. Come say hello if you see me around Municipal Auditorium in a couple of weeks. But that's going to do it, once again, for our show this week. I'm Jesse Cordova. This has been the MIAA Weekly Podcast. Until next time, daps, high fives, and handshakes.